Scott, Matt, do you know that this podcast is brought to you by the good folks at Audible.com?
I do. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment.
Whoa.
Listen to audiobooks whenever
and wherever. Oh, we peaked on that one. We went a little too loud. I'm going to pull this mic level down. Guys, this is our first podcast of all time.
Ever.
My name's
Reggie.
That is gonna sound a lot better.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
wow. Good.
Yeah, that's a lot better.
I've opening stuff.
And then I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna put this up. We're gonna hear us a little bit more. I'm gonna bring up our volume and bring down the mic volume. It's a lot of clicking. It's very annoying clicking. A lot of clicking.
This clicking is brought to you by Audible.com.
Oh my god.
A leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks. Whenever
and wherever
you want.
Yes.
So yeah, the show is brought to you by Audible. We're back.
Yeah, we're back because Audible said, back. Hey, guys, why don't you dust off the Phoebe cave?
How about a little something for the fucking effort?
And head out here to Los Angeles, California, record a podcast. And we said, you know what, Audible? Sure.
Sure.
We got nothing else to do on a Monday night.
We could want to sit within an inch of each other. And talk towards
it's not even an inch. Our knees are touching.
Our knees are touching. We can't look at each other.
I can look at you, Scott.
I know, but it's weird. But if we want to be on mic.
Yeah, we have to essentially lean in.
We have to look at that thing.
Am I that much louder than you, or is it just my voice better? No. You know what it is? I have in-ear headphones on.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is my own voice reverberated into my head.
Gotcha.
That's why I sound so much better.
Because you're like NASA, man.
I'm like, hey, what's up? Yeah.
What if I sit over there?
I don't know.
We can stare at each other.
I don't know. Do you want to try it?
Yeah.
Scott's moving. Scott's had enough of my knee.
It's not that I don't mind touching you. I love touching you. I just find it weird not to look at you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is like... You can... I mean... Yeah, this is okay.
This is better.
Yeah.
Can people hear us?
I don't know. Guys, you'll be able to tell us if you can hear us, right?
This is
the only test that we're doing is just
audible.
You tell us if you can hear it.
It's inaudible.
Oh, wait, are we recording as an MP3 or are we recording as a WAV file? What should I do?
I don't know. Well, WAV file is going to have more information. And then we can compress it later.
What a great intro to the podcast. Stay tuned for Phoebe... 30 something.
Matt's putting it right back the way it was.
Welcome everyone. Phoebe 39,504. You've missed a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
We've done a lot. What number is this?
It was our
best
idea? Shit.
Do you have any idea what number this is?
I think we're still in the 30s.
Okay. Guys, we're still in our 30s. Leave us be. We're just going to coast into our 40s.
Did you hear that?
It's from your phone.
Oh.
Do you hear the thing that I'm causing?
Did you hear the static?
As we said on the Nerdist podcast, holy shit, this is Phoebe.
We're Phoebe.
This is not the Nerdist podcast? I was going to say, as we said on the
intro. Hi, my name is Jonah Ray.
Oh, hey Jonah. What's up? Chris couldn't be here today.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that secretly, somewhere, Kevin and Hardwick are recording a podcast and not telling us?
I mean, don't you think people would hear it, though?
No, what if they're just doing it
because they're... doing it with each other?
Because they can't deal with the fact that we're over here cheating on them.
No.
Concise answer. I agree.
No, I don't think that they are. I don't think that's happening.
Now, Scott, it's been a long time. Since we've podcasted. And
it's been a while.
A lot's happened.
A lot has happened.
First of all, my beard is back.
Your beard is back. I noticed that as soon as I came in and looked at your face. I was like, your beard's back.
Yeah, guys, it's back for the winter. I figured once daylight savings happened, it was no longer time to have a clear face. I wanted to have a face that has beard hair. And it does. Took 2 weeks to grow. The last week in New York, I spent filling it out. I was really concentrating every day on making my beard fluffy and full and manly.
What does that mean?
You just think about it. Right now, I'm thinking about it.
It's all thought.
Yeah. Like, do you see it? Do you see it changing at all?
No.
Hang on. How about now?
Nah.
I mean, it looks more manly.
No.
Oh, come on.
It looks the same.
Oh. Yeah, well, yours looks great, as always, and you shaved your beard off, and
I did.
A little while, neither of us had a beard, it was just four eyes.
It was four eyes.
No beard.
I was wearing my glasses the other day.
Oh.
Not around you. We haven't seen each other in weeks.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We do occasionally run into each other at the gym in passing.
We do.
But
like two sweaty ships in the night.
Well, I'm sweating and you're not.
Because I come after.
And sometimes I get on the treadmill next to Scott and try to run faster than him.
And he tries to challenge me.
It's a lot of fun. I think it makes your mornings brighter.
It does. I'm always excited. But I also won't be taken in.
Yeah, no.
I'm warming up.
You sort of let me.
Well, my muscles aren't warm yet.
Yeah. Well, my muscles are ready to go.
Crank mine
up. I'm constantly warmed up, Scott. I'm ready to do it.
That's what they say. They call you,
super warm,
always warm up Matt.
Always warm up Matt. That's been my name since second grade.
Yeah.
I was like, ready to go.
That kid is all this warm. He's so warm.
That kid is so fat, he's radiating a lot of body heat. Let's call him always warm Matt.
Honey, turn off the heat. We don't need to heat it anymore. Don't worry about it.
We got Matt.
Look at him.
Look how fucking warm this kid is.
I can't even be around. I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. It's December.
I love your version of what my father sounds like. Which is not, it's not. He has a bit of an accent.
He doesn't have that.
But it's not super, super thick. My mother's is much thicker than my
father's. Your mother's is
Yeah.
Matthew.
Yeah, that's it. Matthew Pallmeyer, what the fuck are you doing over there?
You're too hot. You're too warm.
You don't even want to know what your brother did.
You're like, you're right.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. Like, you know, your brother is fucking ridiculous. That's usually what happens. Whose phone is making? Is it mine? Can you grab my phone? Is next behind over there on the computer?
Oh, your
desk.
Fucking tablet.
Is the iPhone?
Do you want me to read
the iPhone 6 Plus? Well, what was the last text message?
Tess
Rafferty.
Rafferty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
probably
work related. Or rum?
Oh, well, the answer to that question is gin. You can reply to that.
Well, is there a code?
It is.
Just do it.
I'm just signing my code to Scott.
There's a hint of peach schnapps in the air. What are they screening for? Oh, hey, guys. I'm at... I can't take
it. It's too much? It's too much?
It's too much. I'm done. I'm not your fucking secretary.
WGA screenings are in full swing. You're getting your screeners getting sent to you.
Started
again.
I just got
I got Chef. We got Chef. Did you get Chef?
Yeah.
Chef.
Yeah.
I just said Chef so many times. In a sentence.
You got Chef. You got Chef. I got Chef. You got
Chef.
All I got is Chef. So what's Chef? If I get one more fucking movie, I'll be good. Chef.
No, I got a couple other ones that I don't remember.
I have a few. I have Chef.
But I remember the Chef one specifically because it came as a fully retailable DVD.
Yeah. Well, generally you get all the stuff that's out.
Yeah.
Except for like Sony Pictures Classics.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like some of the like indie stuff.
Do you go to screenings?
I have. I haven't gone to one in a while.
Let me ask you the following question. Your answer is probably going to be no, but I know you've been off for a couple weeks, so maybe...
I just got... Yeah.
Maybe you've seen Birdman. Have you seen Birdman?
I haven't. I mean, I...
You should see that.
I really, really want to see Birdman. I do want
to
see that.
I recommend it to a friend, and I recommend it to you, the Feebles.
Recommend.
I mean, you're also my friend.
It's a
Feeb...
Wow,
it's a Feebsies.
Why did you tell them
that? No, guys, you're my friends. They are. Friends, please buy our new t-shirt.
Oh yeah, there's a new t-shirt.
There's a brand new Feeb t-shirt. A few of you have tweeted at me that you already got them and you're wearing them. It used to be a pre-order and now it's just an order.
Yeah.
If you go to merchtable.com/Feeb, you can own Scott and I's face on your chest.
Beverly Hills Feeb. This is Matt's.
This is for some reason my dream. I wanted this shirt.
This is your dream.
Dana did a great job with this art, and I liked it a lot. So much so that I knew the shirts were coming out. So I was like, I better grow the beard so people know that's me on the shirts.
So you can stand
Not
next
this
to people.
Beardless.
Did you get one?
Did I order one? I went to order one, and then I didn't order it because I had moved and I hadn't changed my credit card. It was a whole complicated situation where I was like, oh, I better change the address. And then I went on a whole moving rampage of like making sure all the addresses are now correct.
Gotcha.
Scott, moving takes a lot out of you. Have we done a podcast since I moved?
I don't think so.
Oh my God.
Maybe. No.
Scott, I moved.
A lot has happened since the last one. I think it's been months.
It hasn't been that long. I feel like we did one in September. It's been a month.
Been a month, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe a little longer.
Well, I think, no. We gave, no, because in the last show that they...
Oh, it was the done one that we did in June.
Yeah, it was the show we forgot. The show we forgot about. Yeah.
I got news for everybody. We might forget about this show, too, and maybe you're hearing this not in November.
Yeah, it's 2016.
Yep. Wow.
Apes rule the world.
How do you think Star Wars was?
It was, spacey. Spacetastic.
It was the best movie.
It was that very Star Warsy.
Yeah, sure.
It had a lot of Star Wars like things happening in it.
There's no way
you wouldn't know that it was a Star Wars movie.
Right, everywhere you look, you're like, oh, there's a Wookiee.
Fucking lightsaber.
There's a stormtrooper. Oh my God, is that Chewbacca?
It's totally dialed in.
What's happening?
That's my review on not seeing any of it.
Totally dialed in to being Star Wars.
To be Star Wars.
That's great.
That's Scott, what a Star Wars
that
review.
That was the best review you've ever done on this show.
Well, there it is. There you go. So, Phoebe recommend.
Do you have any interest in seeing Star Wars?
I mean,
I'm curious. Defined I'm
interest.
Just curious. Will you see it in the theater?
I mean, here's what I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I saw the trailer,
yeah,
and I was like, oh my God, this mm-hmm. looks amazing, it really comes down to what the story is. Like, if it's a really fascinating story, then I would be interested.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just sort of like, it's like, hey, remember Star Wars?
You might remember such things as the Millennium Falcon.
Get us out of here, Chewie.
Do you remember Luke Skywalker?
Oh, my head.
Well, maybe you're a fan of C-3PO. Well, they're back.
And doing similar things.
You'll love it when R2-D2 makes this noise. Or what about when Chewie says this?
I couldn't pull it out.
It's Star Wars, The Rise of the Force, or whatever it is. What is it? The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
The Force is sleepy, but now it's waking up.
It was asleep. Prepare to watch it wake up.
What if it's just an hour and a half of Luke Skywalker trying to get up in the morning? He's like,
I would go.
I'm going to take a nap.
I would be like, I would have to watch it because you would be like, "Is it, if that's for real?"
The Force Awakens.
It's like an hour and a half, and then he gets up and stretches. They're like, "The Force Awakens."
Just the credits. To be continued.
And JJ's like, you know, I went out.
John Williams is back. That's good.
Yeah.
Right?
My thing is like, it to have interest based on the like
buzz,
the universe. But like oh, look, people's interest is based on the universe. People, because you can't just be like, it's not about necessarily the movies specifically, right? So it's like any interest now is about just like, oh fuck. Generally speaking, it's like then they're just interested in anything in the Star Wars universe,
right?
Right. So I don't have that. I'm like, I never read the books.
You're not a guy that's like turning on the Star Wars Rebels and being like, let me check out this cartoon that's computer animated.
No.
Me either.
I don't, and it's not because I mean, I didn't, you know, the second set of movies, whatever the episodes those were, 1, 2, and 3 or whatever it was. I mean, you know,
Dust Race. I mean,
yeah,
sure, whatever you want to call it.
South of the Border.
Yeah.
Episode A. Like, I, you know, they didn't do much for me. I didn't feel raped or whatever people would say about their childhood and stuff like that. Sure. Like, I was just like, I tend to be, you know, a little bit, I guess I'm not as passionate as some other people are. I'm just like, oh, it's
you're
a movie.
You're more into consensual
like
movie making.
Yeah.
Not childhood raping movie.
Yeah, exactly. I want the child to agree. I want it to be consensual. They definitely didn't. The first three movies are really special to me.
Yeah, sure.
To me, but it's also relative to time where it's like they were special to me then. Like, I don't really want to watch them right now. If you were like, hey, Scott, come on over and I'll pop some popcorn and we'll watch the episode 4, 5, and 6.
That sounds a little fun.
No.
Oh, come on. Do you might remember Darth Vader.
If you did that the whole time.
You might remember hyperspace. They can't get the Millennium Falcon to work. Don't forget Porkins.
See, I don't know who you're talking about.
Porkins was the fat X-Wing pilot.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
You don't remember Porkins?
No. Why would I?
Porkins was like, they cut to a guy who's fat. Right? In a cockpit of an X-Wing.
And do they say his name all the time?
And then they say Porkins. You know, they say, Porkins, where are... Something like that. Something to that effect. Whatever they said, address the fact that this character is named Porkins.
Yeah, and he...
And he's a big fat fatty.
Yeah. And he's flying.
Which is just, like, hint number one that George Lucas has no creativity left in his body.
Oh, the fact that he called him
he's
Porkins?
He's like, oh, this fat guy is called Porkins.
Hey, fatty, you know what your name is? Porkins.
And then, like, in the... But the...
Skinny guy, your name?
The most...
Skinnin'.
The craziest thing to me that he did in Star Wars, in the Phantom Menace. Everyone complains about Jar Jar Binks being somewhat racist. Everyone complains about, Watto, the shop owner, you know, that owned the shop where Anakin Skywalker was the slave. That was, like, this caricature of a Jewish person.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? No part is worth two slaves. Not by long shot. So they had that guy in there. And then, but I think the most racist thing in episode one is those Trade Federation aliens that are just big caricatures of Asians.
Oh, I don't remember. See, that's where it's like, that movie was like, it's as soon insane. As it cut to like, the like politics, I was like...
They're getting through the blast door. There is no... Like, it's just, it's
well,
that crazy.
That's the way
crazy.
They talk?
Yes, that's how they talk. Oh, really? Well, guess what? I have the internet, so everyone's gonna hear how right I am about this. YouTube.com/ you might remember. Hang on, Scott. Trade Federation.
That was the point. I mean, that movie lost me pretty quickly, but... that part where I was like, I couldn't even tell you, like...
I found a, This YouTube video has 1,542 views, and it's called Classic Trade Federation Lines.
Oh, God. So this isn't somebody that was like, this...
They do the Curb Your Enthusiasm music on it. I'm into this so far. So pretend that there's no... Curb Your Enthusiasm music going on in the background because this dialogue is accurate.
I knew it. They're here to force a settlement.
This tractor, I will contact Lord Sidious. Are you brain dead? I'm not going in there with two Jedi. Send a droid. My lord, is that illegal?
They must be dead.
Is that illegal?
Maybe that's it. Maybe George is just like... Maybe George is a fan of racial stereotypes.
Do you think that's what it is?
Or
do you
I don't know, maybe. It's... Maybe he's just like, look, I want these people, like...
Oh, I want those people, okay. That's maybe. My impression of George Lucas.
That was amazing. You should have... He, like, pulled his chin back, so yeah, he's, just like, so... trying to reduce his neck, or, like... He doesn't talk like Kermit the Frog.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't go like,
I think.
When I created Han Solo.
Han was named after my hand.
Han, yeah, it was Han Solo. It's a jerk off joke.
I look down.
I saw so his hand. Hand, and it was so low. And
it was around my dick.
Let me tell you something.
And so Hansel is kind of a dick.
I shot first. Let's remember? Does everybody...
Oh.
Everybody remember I changed that? Didn't go over...
You're never well. Allowed at Skywalker Ranch now. Did you know that?
It just happened. It got happened. Posted on
just,
the internet.
I just saw this message from him. This is a 35-minute George Lucas interview. So we're going to listen to all 35 minutes right now.
You do have to eat, pay your rent,
and
pay back your friends who are supporting you.
I mean,
it took me
job.
Years to get my first film off the ground, and as I talk to film Hello. Students now, especially, I say the easiest job you'll ever get is to try to make your first film.
Interesting.
That's the easiest job you'll ever get.
I mean, I guess it is, because you're hiring yourself.
It's true.
Yeah.
You're not actually...
All right, George, you make some sense.
Yeah, you mocked him openly.
I didn't mean to mock him. You the man's too. Done great things.
Yeah, I agree.
Indiana Jones is the best thing ever.
Do you say Indiana Jones or Han Solo?
Who I think is a better character?
Yeah.
I think Indiana Jones is a better character.
Yeah, me too.
Han Solo, I but feel I like is a little... Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like him?
But seriously. Here's the thing. I admit, like, I just, I'm not the person, I don't carry it. Like, I don't carry it around. Like, I don't wear a Han Solo iron-on shirt. I don't carry the burden of distinguishing which characters. I don't carry that around.
I think the thing with Star Wars is it just, I think it was super smart of him to sell it to Disney. Because it's kind of like, it'll be well taken care of. There will be movies constantly being made.
Sure. The
franchise is not going to die. He doesn't have to worry about it. Like, what's going to happen to Star Wars after I'm dead?
Yeah, he doesn't got to put up with everybody's shit going, yeah. Like, it fucking sucks, yeah. Man, but we'll watch it anyway.
Yeah. But now it's J.J. Abrams, who, for some reason, decided to do this after Star Trek. Whatever. That's cool.
I guess. Does that bother you?
Yeah, bothers me.
Why?
Bothers me a lot.
There's only one star.
Well, listen. Here's the thing. I feel like...
He's cheating on Star Trek?
No, I feel
you
like
do know
he
that Star
never
Trek
was really,
is a person.
He never was really, I think, a personally great fan of Star Trek.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And he admittedly, in interviews, wasn't it? He was more of a Star Wars guy.
Yeah.
So, there was none of the reverence that he appears to be treating Star Wars with was there for Star Trek.
So you're more annoyed. You're not annoyed that he went. You're just annoyed that he made the first two at all.
I'm annoyed that he made the first two at all. Because it feels like he just made the first two to get the job for Star Wars.
We didn't know.
I
How
know
did
that.
Know?
That's why I said my feelings.
Oh, fuck your feelings.
Okay.
Matt, fuck your feelings.
Well, that's what
Hashtag fuck your feelings.
Did you ever end up seeing Into Darkness? Star Trek Into Darkness? The Khan
no.
movie?
Everybody said it was a pile of poo.
It's very frustrating. It's a very frustrating movie.
Did you think it's a pile of poo?
I would like, you know, if you'd seen it, I would talk to you more about it, but it's endlessly frustrating. Yeah,
That was one of those movies where it's like, nobody told me anything good. Or anybody would say anything good about it, I'd be like, wait, it's not that bad. Like, that to me is what I get all the time, where I'm like, I heard it sucks. They're like, no, it's not that bad. I'm like... But you didn't just
you
say
didn't
it's
just
good.
Say it doesn't suck, right?
Yeah. It's like you just basically said it doesn't suck as much as you think it does, which
like
is not true.
That's a movie you'd rip your hair out at.
Well, then I don't want that experience.
Well, Scott, you really feel the need to rip your hair out?
If I need
you
to...
might remember Khan from Space Seed, the SS Botany Bay.
I love Star Trek 2.
Star Trek 2 is great.
Is that why people are mad? Because it's like, you ruined Khan or something
no,
like that?
No, my problem with Star Trek Into Darkness was what I felt like was a lack of creativity.
Gotcha. Bam.
Was a full lack of...
Have you said this before publicly?
Character.
This is the first time people are hearing
know.
It?
I think I complained about it a lot.
Fucking laying it out there?
On Aisha Tyler's podcast.
Fucking J.J. Like,
right
Abrams. Fucking all
no,
these
here's
motherfuckers
the with it.
Can fucking... Here it comes.
I don't know what guidelines they're under from the studio. I don't know what forces were working against them. I don't
no.
know what it was like.
No. penises.
No, they're like, okay, no penises. Also, we have to have someone die. Whatever.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alerts ahead for Star Trek Into Darkness if you haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen it and you want to watch a sucky movie, here is the part that drives
you crazy. If you haven't seen it and you've seen Star Trek 2, you've seen it, but worse. Yeah. I mean, but better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, here's what they do in this movie. Khan. Is
played by
Benedict Cumberbatch. Who does a fine job. Every actor in that movie does a great, great job. Particularly Carl Urban.
Okay.
Who plays McCoy.
Right.
I think he's fucking phenomenal. And I hope they make another Judge Dredd movie with him in it. So, here's what they do, Scott. They have Khan, right?
They have Khan.
They don't tell you he's Khan.
No.
No one knows he's Khan until, I think, middle of the act two. But the audience, you're aware that it's Khan. Okay, so the first scene is pretty much lifted out of Raiders of the Lost Ark. The first scene of this movie.
Okay.
Then they go to Starfleet Academy, where they're like, oh, Kirk broke the Prime Directive, blah, 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 whatever. Then we see Khan, who's out for vengeance, because in this timeline, the Botany Bay is found earlier than it was, you know, in the original series.
Yeah.
So they do a whole thing where Khan is like out for revenge, but you don't know why he's out for revenge. Come to find RoboCop, Peter Weller, has built a giant battleship secretly, a giant clandestine Federation battleship.
Yeah.
And armed it with these crazy torpedoes that are like
crazy torpedoes.
Super destructo torpedoes.
Whoa.
Right?
So you're like, fuck.
Yeah, but which was built with the help of Khan. Because Khan, you know, super smart. Super smart,
good engineer.
A starship designer.
Really good engineer.
So in this movie, Peter Weller goes out, you know, for vengeance. I forget what he's revenging. I don't remember exactly. But he goes a little crazy. And then, meanwhile, Khan's escaped. So the Enterprise is sent to go track down Khan and get him for trying to sabotage Starfleet.
Yeah.
Khan gets captured. Blah, blah, blah. We find out eventually that Khan had built that ship, but was under duress because the Federation had the rest of his crewmates, the Botany Bay crewmates, frozen in stasis.
Yeah.
And then they somehow put those people in torpedoes or whatever. All this stuff, bad stuff, that the Federation was doing to Khan. Kirk didn't know this was happening.
Gotcha.
So the people are kept at, you know, on board the Vengeance inside torpedoes. All of his crewmates are inside these crazy torpedoes for some reason. I don't remember if there's a plot reason for that or whatever. So then it becomes the Enterprise versus this USS Vengeance or whatever the fuck the ship is called.
Yeah, yeah.
This giant battleship starship.
Crazy torpedoes.
Realize that, oh my god, this guy, this fucking
Peter Weller
has all Khan's people, which is not cool according to the Federation, you know, not
in torpedoes.
So guess what has to happen? Khan and Kirk have to work together to stop the greater evil, which is Peter Weller. Huge spoilers, guys. I'm sorry, but it's happening.
Yeah.
So then what happens is there's a cool scene of Khan and Kirk working together on the ship to stop Peter Weller. But then Khan goes a little crazy, crushes Peter Weller's skull with his hands, and then just goes a little nuts. And from this point forward, it then becomes the third act of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Except. Kirk is the one that has to save the Enterprise and get the radiation poisoning and say the same fucking lines.
Oh my god.
That Spock said in the second one, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few, or the one.
Yeah, yeah.
They now have Kirk saying that, and Kirk's getting the radiation. So for some reason, Kirk is saying exactly the same dialogue that Spock said in Star Trek II.
Does Kirk die?
Kirk dies. But is brought back to life within about 5 minutes by McCoy with the help of a Tribble and Khan's super blood. So then it turns into this big chase to get Khan, and it turns into a whole thing of Khan chasing down Spock on Earth trying to stop Khan. By the way, when Kirk dies in Spock's arms,
you see his dick.
You see his dick, but also Zachary like Quinto's Spock yells Khan.
So that was how they,
so they flipped it.
They're like, that's their homage?
I don't know what it was. Homage. It didn't make any sense. Like, all the fucking... Even Scotty's dialogue is the same. It was crazy.
Huh.
That all this dialogue was the same, except they flipped Kirk and Spock. So then,
and that bugs you.
That bugs me. And then it turns into this whole thing of, like, then they have to go stop Khan, blah, blah, blah. Now, what would have worked, I think, in my opinion... What I think would have been a better choice for them would have been to take this interesting twist of the Federation being the bad guy here, really.
Yeah.
And having all of Khan's people like that. And I think what they should have done was have Kirk and Khan work together to do this. And then Khan has to sort of answer for his crimes, and they court-martial him on the ship. And they fucking send him to SETI Alpha 5.
And then you set up...
Then you set up a Wrath of Khan eventually. It could be a new Wrath of Khan. It doesn't have to be the same fucking
Wrathier.
Story. Wrathier of Khan. What I'm saying is, you have this interesting angle in this new timeline. Use it. Don't try to backtrack us to get us to the point of making it the Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, make Khan a somewhat sympathetic figure, which they sort of did, but then turn around and make him a fucking crazy murderer, which he kind of is. But then just make him work together with Khan, and then he has to answer for his crimes, and then he gets sent to SETI Alpha 5, and then we set up something else. Great. Don't fucking use the exact same lines of dialogue to the point where I feel like Nicholas Meyer should get story credit on this movie.
Did he get started?
I don't know. I didn't even look. But if he didn't, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That does it for Trek spoilers. I've been your host, Matt Myra. Joining me as always is a confused Scott Mosier.
Good guy who doesn't care. Scott Mosier!
But it was just, you know, if you ever... That's our doorbell. I'm going to go find out why that's our doorbell.
Who could that be?
I'll find out. Scott, entertain nobody.
So Matt's walking to the door. And we'll see who it is. It is somebody.
Yeah, it's a rug.
It's a rug. It's a some.
Rug delivered.
Somebody delivered a rug for Matt. It's they're putting the house together, and apparently this rug is gonna really tie the room together. That's right, I said it. And he's got some his mail. He's coming in with his mail.
I got a lot of mail, Scott.
We can go through the mail.
I don't need to go through the mail. Here, it's Time Warner saying, hey, here's
Time your Warner, cable bill. Like,
your internet bill, rather.
Chase. Yeah. Something from Universal.
Uh-huh.
That's from Dory.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's something from Americana Parkway.
What do you think this is? My guess is this is a refinance your...
Refinance your
what do you think?
Car loan.
Car, maybe? Ooh, maybe it's like, hey, you're an American. Here's $100.
Welcome to America, American.
Guys, if you're listening to us from somewhere other than... Oh, it's the PIN number for my new Virgin credit card.
Oh, there you go. There's a pamphlet from Sweetwater.
Oh, I got a got something from Ventura County Credit Union.
That
I think they handle my car loan, if I remember correctly.
Did you get a rebate or you get a bill?
I just got the same bill I always get. Holiday closures, guys.
Holiday closures.
Scott's looking at my car loan to see if it's satisfactory. What do you think, Scott? What do you think?
Top payment amount. Beginning balance, end balance.
Scott's.
It's all good.
Thanks, Scott. Guys, it's all good. I did it.
Just got to figure out how long you can depreciate it.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not going to have positive equity in that car until probably end of next year.
When this show comes out.
End of next year. All right. Now, Scott, what did you do? Oh, I see what you're going for. Are you going for some feet breeds?
I believe I am.
Scott, if you could, please hand me my copy for our wonderful folks at Audible. That way I can join you in the revelry.
So let's jump into a little bit of Feebreeds.
Feebreeds. Feebreeds!
Brought to you by Audible. Thank you.
Wait, should we write a... Do you want to write a Feebreeds song? Here.
We'll do it.
Was that it? Was that a song?
I don't know. It's where like a Kenny Loggins, like it's a Kenny. That was basically
that was Kenny Loggins,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Footloose. Was it?
It was Footloose. But it's not like Footloose.
Yeah.
Was that Kenny?
That's
Loggins?
Kenny Loggins.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. Kenny Loggins is fine. He's fine with this.
Feebreeds, Feebreeds, kick off your Sunday Feebs, more Feebreeds. Anyway, guys.
Brought to you by
Feebreeds is brought to you by Audible.com. Okay, so here's the deal with Audible. They do audiobooks, and Scott and I read books. Books that you can listen to on Audible.com.
And so. I do listen to books too. I do both.
I listen to books.
Yeah, I do it all. I don't limit myself to the page.
You are just a renaissance man when it comes to books.
I also have to commute. Well, I'm a commuter.
I get that. I totally get that.
And as a commuter and many of our commuter friends out there, my recommendation for Audible's great. Listen to a book. So... God damn it. And if you want to listen to it, Audible has it with over 150,000 titles and virtually every genre. You'll find what you're looking for. Get a free audiobook and 14-day trial today by signing up at www.audiblepodcast.com/Feeb. Go check it out. I promise you'll find something that that you'll dig. I think we've recommended the John Krakauer books. Into the Wild. The one I listened to was one of the first Audible books I ever had. It was on cassette tape. The one where he climbs Everest. Into Thin Air.
Thin Air is fucking
is a great one.
And now, Scott.
Yes.
I just read a book that I just had to double check to make sure it's on Audible.com. It's available for you guys to read at home. And this book is called The Disaster Artist, My Life Inside the Room. It's right there under your, right there.
There it is.
This is my book. I just read this. Now, Scott, have you ever seen the worst movie ever made called The Room?
I have not.
Okay. Well, I've seen The Room. I've seen it many years ago. It used to be a big billboard up in Los Angeles on Highland. For this crazy movie called The Room. I'm sure a lot of our listeners know about it, but if you haven't seen the movie, I highly recommend watching it. It's one of those so-bad-it's-good movies, which kind of goes against everything Scott Mosher stands for as a human being, but it's one of those movies that's so bad it's hilarious and amazing. And one of the stars of the movie, Greg Sestero, wrote this book with Tom Bissell, and it's his whole account of not only the making of this movie with this wonderfully crazy Tommy Wiseau, who's the guy who wrote, directed, and starred in it, but it's also the story of like how he met Tommy and how that came to be. So what he does is each chapter, you know, is a different portion of the chapter is about The Room, and then the next chapter is about chronologically him and his relationship with Tommy,
leading up to the making of The Room. Right, so
and it goes back linear. And forth. And it's a very quick read. It's a funny read. If you were to listen to this on Audible and get it as one of your free audiobooks, guess what? It's 11 hours of content. For free.
For free.
For free.
11 hours, and if you're commuting, like I'm saying,
yeah.
You're commuting, you're going on holiday, Thanksgiving, you gotta sit in traffic, make your kids listen to it, because, like,
and what they did here,
all be about them.
What they did in this book, one of the things I like so much about this book is the, is that they nailed sort of, like, the dialogue of Tommy Wiseau. Like, they nailed sort of what he sounds like in a conversation. It's really fascinating. It looks like, so for example, you want to do a scene together? He looked at me, his eyes narrowed, his mouth partly opened. I couldn't tell if he was annoyed or offended or pleased. You and me, he asked? Yeah. Why you ask me? He asked irritably. Which is exactly how Tommy would drop the article. Just say, why you ask me? Call me Tommy, not Thomas. I'm Greg, by the way. Then he said nothing and walked away. This is like, I don't know why I found this so fascinating, but it genuinely is.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, I love it.
Do you need to see the movie?
To enjoy the book? No.
Okay.
It's actually,
as long as you understand.
You actually really don't need to see the movie to enjoy the book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there
I
you go.
Recommend it to everybody, but, you know, seeing the book, or rather, seeing the movie is
makes it enhances the experience. It enhances.
Just like listening to this book makes the book a more
enhanced experience. Yeah, yeah. All right, so here's my, I have a few Feebreeds, but
I love it. Scott, you overprepared?
Yes, but
under-delivered.
Not all of them. That's fucking my motto. That'll be the name of my book.
Overprepared and underdelivered.
The Scott Moser story. My the book I just finished is, it's a fiction book called A Constellation of Vital Phenomena by Anthony Mara.
Okay.
And it's really good. It's a big epic story. It takes place during a war in Chechnya, which is like a part of the world I hadn't sort of read about, but it's a really good book.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have it on Audible, so I recommend it.
Great.
So there you go.
Get that. What is the tale of? You're just telling me it takes place in Chechnya. You're not exactly setting my world on fire here.
Hold on, let me see if I can
find the synopsis.
Yeah. Wow, so long. A resilient doctor risks everything to save the life of a hunted child in this majestic debut about love, loss, and the unexpected ties that bind us together.
Ooh, I like binding agents. Like
a brilliant, haunting novel. I'm flipping through. Anthony Mara transports us to a snow-covered village in Chechnya, where 8-year-old Ahava, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, watches from the woods as Russian soldiers abduct her father in the middle of the night, accusing him of aiding Chechen rebels. I'm telling you, man, I don't want to give too much away.
All right.
You just gotta trust me.
Scott, I think we all trust you.
But there, I gave
all it the feebles trust you.
It's good. It's a super, it is a really good read, too. I was like, that's what I was reading during my crazy 8-week.
8-week work 8-week fest.
Non-everyday work. So I wasn't getting to read a lot. 8 weeks to read that book is a long time for me.
Yeah, this book took me a week and a half.
Normally it would take me 4 or 5 days. So anyways, go to audible.com and get your free book. Those are two possibilities.
audiblepodcast.com/feeb.
My other feeb reads, I have two others. Yeah. And a feeb TV.
Oh my god, this is Scott. You're blowing me away right now.
All
right,
so the feeb TV.
Yeah.
I'll do it in the order that I have sort of learned. So I had seen this chef, Sean Brock, who has a restaurant called Husk in Charleston, South Carolina, mm-hmm. and I think he has one in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
So I'd seen him on one of Anthony Bourdain's episodes. And then I'd watched, when I was in Dallas, I'd watched Mind of a Chef season one
mm-hmm.
on PBS with David Chang. So PBS, season two is split in half. And the first half is Sean Brock in South Carolina, and the second half is the woman from, I think, the Spotted Pig. What's the restaurant in New York?
That sounds like the restaurant.
Yeah. So anyway, so I watched him So I knew who he was, and then I watched The Mind of a Chef, season 2, which I'm recommending if nobody's seen it. I believe it's on Netflix now. But it's really good. And so I watched that. My wife watched it with me. She's like, now she's obsessed, really wants to go to that restaurant. He has a cookbook out called Heritage, which highlights a lot of the stuff in the show. There's really interesting stuff. So inside the show, there's a moment where he's talking to this guy who breeds or has this heritage, right? Carolina Gold.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it goes into the history of rice in Carolina and how it's like it was a huge rice producer. And then, you know, when slavery was abolished and the war and all that stuff. And then pretty soon it was like all Uncle Ben's and nobody was making this rice. So this guy brought this rice back and other heritage, different types of stuff, and he has a mill, and you can buy it, and I bought it, and it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that rice shipped out. Go to AnsonMills.com, and you can order the rice. But watch the show, and then the cookbook is amazing. That's really, really good.
Scott.
Yes.
Going along with your sort of theme right now.
Yes.
I have been recently watching a lot of America's Test Kitchen, which is on PBS.
Yep.
Which is far and away the best cooking show I've ever seen in my life. Like, exceedingly so. To the point where the recipes, you know, can sometimes be complicated, but it's really just done on step by step, and they tell you why they're doing everything, the way they're doing it,
mm-hmm.
what's happening. So it's a show done by the makers of Cooks Illustrated magazine.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Cooks Illustrated magazine?
Yeah, I am.
So,
of course I am, Matt.
Scott, let me tell you, okay, they on this show, on America's Test Kitchen, which I think you can watch whatever current season is on their website, americastestkitchen.com.
It's on PBS.
It's on PBS.
I wonder if it's on the, like, I have the PBS app on,
oh, yeah, you should take a look
on the Apple TV.
It is on there. So they recently on the show they cook,
yeah,
a main dish usually. They do equipment reviews, so like if you're like wanted to find out the best blender or cast iron pan,
yeah,
they'll test the shit out of that, and then tell you what's what. And then they do taste tests for like margarine or mayonnaise or
different brands,
sort of
new
basics,
stuff.
You know, things like that, coffee, etc. So they did a beef taste test.
Gotcha,
Scott. Where they tasted beef that ranged from $22 a pound to $110 a pound.
Ah, with the idea of being like, is there a difference?
They're like, is this worth it?
Yeah.
Is this beef that's so expensive worth it?
I did that.
Yeah. Well, guess what? The place that won the taste test, Brant Beef, is located in Southern California.
Wow.
And it is hop, skip, and a jump down the 5 if you wanted to go pick up meat yourself. You can. They will also deliver it to you. I had it delivered. I ordered 6 New York strips.
Yeah.
And 8 burgers.
Yep.
The New York strips, Scott, was ridiculous. They're 100% corn-fed cattle.
Yeah.
Naturally raised. So good. So tender. It was amazing. And the way I cooked those steaks was I used their own recipe, America's Test Kitchen's recipe for a char grilled steak.
Yep.
And it was phenomenal.
And Scott, so where in the spectrum of cost?
The Brant Beef was it up? I think the cut they tested on the show was $42 a pound.
Yeah.
I know that for my order, it wasn't $40 a pound, whatever I ordered. It ended up being like $115 for the steaks and the burgers.
For the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, and I highly recommend you do it.
I will try that place.
Brant Beef.
You should try that place in Idaho.
I love it. Let's do an exchange of places.
Snake River Farms, which I recommended before, and I believe somebody on the show like grabbed some.
Yeah,
they have good, they have Kobe dogs.
Well, let me tell you
which
this.
Are really good.
They tested $110 a pound Kobe beef.
Yeah.
And it came in last in their taste test.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They do a blind taste test, so they don't know what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just as far as juice. It was
We did that. We had some Snake River Farms, and then we bought some steak at Trader Joe's. And I had the, my friend and I were making it, and then we, my wife and like all the ladies, we did the blind taste test. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was
a real fun dinner party activity.
It was very fun. I mean, everybody had a great time. Yeah. But it was like an instant, like it wasn't even like, there was no drama.
Yeah.
Like there was no like,
oh, it could be.
It was like that.
Yeah.
Like it was just like done. And I mean, some of it is like, you know, you can, I mean, you can look at the piece of meat before you cook it and see the marbleization.
Oh my God.
And the marbleization in the more expensive piece is just like, you can see it and that, you know, when you're cooking it and that stuff, and that stuff cooks out and melts into the, it's like, it adds a lot of flavor. It's really good. I mean, there's nothing, you know, this is what it is.
I don't know if they tested Snake River, so I'm going to gladly order some of that. Try it.
You should. I, it's really good.
I'll let you know. Cooked it on my.
And I'm going to watch American Test Kitchen. America's and Test you Kitchen. Should watch Mind of Chef.
Season 2,
I will say, like, in season 1, David Chang's in the kitchen, he's cooking, and you kind of pick up on a few things he's doing. Season 2, Mind of a Chef, like, generally speaking, when he's doing whatever he's cooking, I found generally I could replicate it. I was like, there was enough information, and a lot of it was very simple. And a lot of it was like, it was interesting because it's like Southern cooking, but he's sort of like, there's a lot of vegetables, you know, it's not a like just a bunch of barbecue. There is one episode that's like
a bunch of barbecue.
It looked fucking good. But that's a TV and
my TV thing. I've been talking about America's Test Kitchen since I found it. It's sort of amazingly addictive, and like I signed up for all of their, you know, I get Cooks Illustrated, and I got the America's Test Kitchen website, and the Cooks Illustrated website, and the Cooks Country, which is the other TV show they do.
Huh.
Essentially the same chefs, just in a Vermont setting. With more rustic dishes, though.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot more, like, potato hearty stuff, and all that kind of thing.
Winter stuff. As we enter winter, there's an Arctic blast going across our country.
I was just in Boston.
You were just in Boston.
I was just in New York and Boston.
Yep.
Let me see. Did I eat anywhere in New York that was amazing? I went to this place called Cafe Luxembourg in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like on the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
And I got, it's around Lincoln Center, sort of. I got, I got some steak fries.
Nice.
And it was very good. And then I looked to my left, and who was sitting not 10 feet away from me? Mr. David Hyde Pierce.
And you were like,
I was like,
holy Luxembourg.
Oh my God. That is Niles Crane.
And did you have a Frasier moment?
I did not say anything to him. You know why? Because the man was eating. He was by himself. He wasn't by himself. He was with another guy. But I just didn't want to interrupt him. I was like, oh, they seem like they're having a lunch meeting or catching up on old times.
Yeah.
Point is, not my place.
No.
To go say hello. What am I going to say? Hey, I love Frasier. You think he's ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Probably once or twice.
Probably. You could have picked something else more obscure.
Yeah, like, I love you in Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah.
I'm sure he hears that too.
Yeah. Just leave him alone, man.
Exactly what I did, Scott.
Yeah.
I just left him alone.
I don't have any. I'm trying to think of a restaurant that I've actually been to. I haven't been out that much. I went to the Thai place, Night and Song.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Around Sunset. It was good. It was really good.
Some good stuff. Yeah, New York. I went to Luke's Lobster Roll in New York.
I've never been there.
Shout out to Luke's Lobster Roll. They make a fucking hell of a lobster roll.
Nice.
It's all Maine lobster. I got their lobster roll, and I also got a grilled cheese sandwich.
Ah.
Because if I see a grilled cheese sandwich prominently displayed on a menu, I'm going to order it. And it was such a good grilled cheese. The lobster was amazing. Let me just say that. It was a great lobster roll. One of the
That's why you go to Luke's Lobster or whatever.
But the grilled cheese, like, sort of weirdly, because it was so cold outside, it hit the spot like nobody's business. It just... I got American. Oh, boy.
I love winter food.
Yeah.
It's part of my problem with
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles mm-hmm. is like, I love like the hearty foods, but there's something about like being out in the cold and like warm hearty food is mm-hmm. like so good. It yeah. enhances the flavor of it, and you just don't get that here. I yeah. just stand in a freezer or something.
Well, I love, you know, tomato soup and grilled cheese. There's like nothing better.
Yeah.
Just that combination of delicious goodness. And you know what I love every year? And this guy must get money still. The Campbell's soup commercial where the kid comes in as a snowman and then he melts as he's eating their tomato soup.
Oh, that guy?
That kid has been, they've been running that commercial for almost 30 years. Like, I feel like that commercial's been on since I was a child.
It's been on a long time.
And I see looks it like every it. Year.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's still a great commercial.
That guy must be so stoked.
Like, he must love it when Christmas rolls around, he gets a check.
He's like, bingo!
Just like, I guess, I suppose anybody that's in a Christmas movie must, like, love it when Christmas starts.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I used to hear Artie on Howard Stern talking about whenever they would air Elf, when Christmas would roll around, he'd end up getting, like,
big fat residual checks. Giant nice.
$15,000 check because it had aired on TBS 300 like times.
300 times. That's what we gotta do.
So we gotta make a Christmas movie.
Yeah, we gotta make a Christmas movie. And fucking
Phoebe Saves Christmas?
Yeah. Phoebe Saves Christmas from a bunch of stereotypical, very racist characters created by George Lucas.
Oh my god, we're gonna have the best time. Would you, I get this
there year, you go, you started it right there.
This year is, I'm gonna, you know, get a real big Christmas tree and all that stuff.
Yeah.
First year in the house. And it's going to be Dory's first Christmas.
Ever?
She's Jewish.
Oh, okay.
So she's never really had the Christmas experience.
A Christmas?
So I'm going to do that for her. And I got to make it like the best Christmas ever. Because I don't want it to be like a lame Christmas.
Well, if it's her first
I want her
one.
To be like, hey, this Christmas thing, I see what you guys are on about. It's great.
You're going to try to take her out of her Jewishness?
I'm going to... No, we can also have Hanukkah situation. She's going to have a latke
fest. You're like, I'm going to have an amazing Christmas, and we can, you know, have a Hanukkah situation.
Well, Hanukkah is not that important a holiday to them. You know what I mean? On the calendar, as far as religious holidays go.
Hey, man.
You got your Yom Kippur's, you got your Rosh Hashanah's, you got, you know, you got a lot of other holidays that are...
Bigger,
more ritualized.
It's in the top 10.
Yeah, sure, it's in the top 10. But it's not, like, number one.
Not number one.
Although, I guess technically in the Christian calendar, Easter's number one, Christmas is number 10.
Are you going to be here in L.A. all Christmas?
Yeah. Are you?
Nope.
Where are you going? Washington?
I'm driving north right after.
You're driving?
I'm going to drive the dogs up right after Christmas Day.
Oh, my God.
Driving with the doggies.
Why don't you play a song?
Because one, it's upside down.
There you go.
It's upside down.
Scott, you look like you should always have a guitar.
I can't do it upside down. I can't do it right side up either.
Scott's trying to play Ode to Joy.
I was. I can't play it. No.
Yeah. Here. You're trying to play.
Yeah, well, it's easier, but...
Everyone must love listening to this.
Do you remember that movie? Do you remember, American movie?
Yeah.
So remember an American movie? The guy who was like his buddy who played guitar?
Yeah.
What was his name? I remember that movie came out. I love that movie. Like, that movie is awesome.
That's one of those cultural touchstone movies.
Yeah. That movie's so fucking good. But anyways, like, that movie came out and I remember you know, like on the internet, and you could order a fucking cassette tape of his guitar playing. And I had it, and I can't find it. I've tried to find it like 10 times. Kind of bummed out. So, anyways, I am going to. I'm gonna head north.
Gonna head up north with my dog ass.
You stop staring at me. Because you were fucking doing the neck thing and staring at me. Kind of freaked me out. I wasn't ready for it. Feed brought to you by Taylor Guitars. My name is Charles. Teddy, who speaks with his fingers. This is what Teddy sounds like when he's happy. And this is what Teddy sounds like when he's sad.
Why are you being Teddy and
Charlie? Oh, okay. Like, oh, what were you doing? I was tuning out. I completely tuned out. If I could play guitar, we could do like warring guitars, but I can't.
It'd be like Crossroads.
Ah, fuck. I used to love that movie. When I was a kid,
what are they?
It's a shit movie.
They just fucking rock out with it. It's Satriani, right? Or Steve Vai. Sorry. Steve Vai and Ralph Macchio.
Fuck yeah, at the end. And then it's basically like Ralph Macchio reverts to classical guitar. Music,
and the guy can't handle it.
And Steve Vai's like, I can't handle it. Your soul has returned to you. And what's her name? Jamie Gertz. Wasn't Jamie Gertz like the bad girl?
Yeah.
That and, they found on the road?
Fuck, what's his face?
Ralph Macchio is the
No,
lead.
The old man. Who plays the old black guy in that movie? Fucking A. Isn't it like, God damn it. Guys, the internet's gonna tell us. I know you're all screaming at the... Maybe none of you are screaming.
I don't actually... I don't... Do you really think it's that, do you think it's that popular of a... Do you think
of a movie?
Of a character actor?
Yeah, isn't he? Isn't he, like, doesn't he end up... Because I feel like it's the same... Guys, we're talking about the 1986 Crossroads and not...
2002.
Joe Sinecca. Oh, Joe Morton's in that. That's right. Joe Morton's, like, the devil's right-hand man, remember?
Yeah. Dude, I saw this movie, like...
900 times.
It's Walter Hill, man. Good shit, man.
Guys, another Phoebe... sees for you. If you've never seen
Crossroads
from 1986, the guitar duel movie
by Walter Hill,
where Soul gets taken, and
well, basically it's the story supposedly.
I mean, it's the Robert Johnson.
It's the Robert Johnson story, and Ralph Macchio and his looking super. I mean, at the height of Machoism,
yes,
of his Machoism.
And he plays in that movie, he plays an old Fender Telecaster.
He does. And Joe Sinecca tries to teach him how you got the blues.
Yep. Guys,
I don't know of anybody. I mean, now that you've seen his name,
yeah,
that is not a name people pull out of their ass. He's really good in the movie.
Correct. He's great in the movie.
But
I've seen, he's been in a ton of stuff. Like he has. He's Kramer
been in
versus Kramer, Time to Kill, Malcolm X.
Spike Lee's Tarzan in Manhattan.
Yeah.
He was in.
So you've seen his face 1,000 times. I feel like
What was the first movie?
I think we should all...
Oh, he's in The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, the first one.
Oh!
Which is a fucking genius movie.
That's the shit.
If you haven't seen that, I know they remade it, and I'm not even going to talk about it.
I didn't even see the remake.
I mean...
Doesn't matter. Doesn't ruin your opinion of the original. Which is why I don't mind the RoboCop remake, because I have my original RoboCop.
That's true. I don't care that they remade Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. I don't really want to watch it, because the first one is like... Tonally, so the first one is like tonally in this space that nobody would make a movie now. It's like, it's tonally like Walter Matthau is fucking amazing, and it's like it's played for humor, and the humor versus like intensity is like very strange, not a normal, like, people would be like, it's too jokey, it's too this, but
kind of. That, what you were just saying there about The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 being remade, I have, you know, the utmost respect for the film RoboCop, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Paul
Verhoeven's RoboCop. And the second one, the
remake
of RoboCop that just came out this past year. It didn't, you know, the fact that I sat through that movie, it didn't ruin the fact that RoboCop still existed for me. But I will say this. Michael Keaton is great in the new RoboCop.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton is great in The Other Guys. Michael Keaton is fucking phenomenal in Birdman.
He's back.
Michael Keaton is such a good actor. So funny. Just like, Michael Keaton, the world needs more Michael Keaton.
It's true. He's been gone for a while.
I'm saying the world needs more Michael Keaton, and I'm glad
he's back.
That he seems to be back. Ready, willing, and able.
That's good.
You know what would have been cool? Is if they let Michael Keaton play Batman in the new Batman.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty cool. Because he's that age now. You know what I mean?
You mean like, because the new Batman is supposed to be... Yeah. That's what it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
I don't even know what it's supposed to be.
I don't really know what it's supposed to be either, but...
It's supposed to be Batman fighting Superman.
But if it's Batman fighting Superman, then that brings it to The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Returns. Everyone. The Dark Knight Returns.
Whoa.
Ugh.
I mean,
I have a statue of Batman on a horse from the comic right in front of you, Scott.
That's maybe the most embarrassing, fucked up thing you've ever done.
I'm gonna go kill myself.
You want me to punch you in chocolate. The face right now?
Chocolate.
Death by chocolate.
Just kill me right now. Get me a moose. Scott, thank you for joining me for this episode.
In your house.
Thank you for joining all the Feebles and. I think it's time.
We're going to be back. We
actually are going to be back. We're recording on Saturday. So you're going to get 2 weeks in a row of Phoebe. You know why? Because we love you.
We love you. Even when we're not
making out with you. We still love you. We don't have to, like, make out with you. We'll be in love with you. Right?
Is this a conversation you've had before?
Right? Scott. Right.
Yeah. Sure.
Scott?
Sure.
Right? We don't have to make out.
No.
But I'll make out with you if you want.
We can. For Christmas.
It's Christmas time is coming. I put my guitars back on the wall, sorry.
Yeah, we don't have...
Would have sang a song about it. Listen, in the words of the greatest actors...
Ever.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Mr. Mark Wahlberg, Mr. Denzel Washington, make it rain.
If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. With over 150,000 titles in virtually every genre, you'll find what you're looking for.
Oh, my God. You're going to find literally every single thing you can imagine. Leisure, education, politics, special interest topics. If you want to find medical books, go ahead. There's medical books on there.
Everything.
Cookbooks. I don't know if someone would read a cookbook, but I'd listen
Why
to
not?
It.
Why not? Listen to it. Books. Ugh. Books on food. All kinds of shit. Ugh.
Guys, the point is...
It's the leading provider of spoken audio information and
Entertainment. Guys,
listen to audiobooks.
I just want you to go to audible.com.
Whenever and wherever you want. get a free. And if you do this, if you go to audiblepodcast.com/Phoebe,
you will be given the offer of a free audiobook download of your choice. Whatever free. You want. If you want to download an 11-hour book like The Disaster Artist by Greg Sestero and Tom Bissell,
then fucking do
go
it.
Go for it. But if you want to borrow, or rather download, own a 38-hour book, like the biography of the Beatles I've been reading for a year and a half,
you can rock
you
that
You can do
shit.
That too. Same free price.
Free audio.
$3 and no cents.
And a 14-day trial today. Go to www.audiblepodcast.com/Phoebe.
Tell them Scott and Matt sent you. I don't know that there's a box
you
where you
to.
Can tell them that they
no.
sent us. I think just by going through that link. audiblepodcast.com/Phoebe.
Yes.
Listen out there. I know there's a lot of podcasts, and I know a lot of you listen to podcasts regularly, but I also know that sometimes you hit refresh and you don't see anything. There's no new podcast.
Yeah.
You know what you do?
Listen to an
Go to audible.com.
Yeah.
audiblepodcast.com/Phoebe. And that does it for this week's Phoebe. I mean, it already did it. We already signed off.
Yeah,
so
don't
what
do
are
it
we
again.
Doing? We're not redundant. You're
already
redundant,
did it.
Scott. Let's
You're
go make
redundant.
Out. We're going to go make out now.
Bye.
This has been a production of Smodco Internet Radio. Sir, only at Smodcast.com. This has been a production of Smodco Internet Radio. Sir, only at Smodcast.com.